And you know that verse in the Bible when all these people had died and went to heaven, and he says, I never knew you. And they say, well, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we minister to the sick? Didn't we go to church every Sunday? Well, wasn't we sitting on that pew? Didn't you see me over there? He says, I never knew you. You see, it's not about what you do for God. It's about what God did for you and in you that matters.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. Brother Mark delivered his sermon titled, What is My Purpose? And he preached from Psalms 57. And now, Brother Mark.
We're going to be looking in Psalms chapter 57. And the title of this message is what is my purpose? What is my purpose? Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever tried to just think about what's God's will for me? What does God want me to do? Have you ever thought that way? I think that's probably one of the most asked questions of all believers. What is God's personal will for my life? What does He want me to do? What career am I supposed to take? What path am I supposed to follow? What church am I supposed to go to? What missions does God want me to do? What part of the ministry does He want me involved in? These are all real questions that I believe are pertinent to all of us every day that we live, right? If we're truly believers and we truly want to please God and give God glory, then we should be seeking them types of questions in our life. Amen? The psalmist sought that type of purpose for his life. And my psalm says in the beginning of that, as a little title to Psalms 57, it says, to the choir master, to the choir master, to do not destroy. Miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. You remember that story? So David's hiding from Saul in the cave. And if you remember the story, Saul ventures into the cave and David's watching him from behind a hiding place. And he clips a little bit of his robe off while he's in there and doesn't harm a hair on his head. And Saul walks out. And later, he tells Saul that I knew you was there, and here's some of your robe to prove that I knew you was there, and I could have took your life at that point, but I didn't. And so this is a psalm of David to the choir master, do not destroy, from when he fled from Saul and he was hiding in the cave. Verse 1, he says, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till this storm of destruction passes by. Them are great words for us today, amen? We are in the middle of a storm, a national storm, a worldwide storm. And where should we take our refuge? Where should we seek our shelter? He says, I will seek my shelter in the shadow of your wings until the storm passes by. Verse 2, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose in me. God fulfills His purpose in every believer. Amen?
Amen.
And God will fulfill His purpose in you. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. Amen. Salah. Salah means amen, so be it. Okay? God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. My soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid the fiery beast. The children, he describes these fiery beasts. The fiery beasts are the children of man whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Have we seen this in our day in which we live? It's the fiery beasts that are out there in the world, and their teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongues are sharp swords. Amen? Five, he says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Seven, my heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory, awake, O harp and lyre, I will awake the dawn. Do you get up in the morning singing praises to God? Do you? Amen? I get up in the morning and the first thing I want to do is start singing praises to God the Father. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Notice 11 and 5 are the same. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Let's pray. Father God, take your word and put it in our heart. Embed it there. That we may hear your word over and over as we go through the day. That we might ruminate upon it. That we might ponder over it. And Lord, that we might regurgitate it to our daily life. Lord, let your word be in our heart in such a way that when we move, we hear your voice from the pages of Scripture. And may them pages be a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet, that they might direct us into righteous living. And all these things we pray, and the congregation said,
Amen.
Amen. In spite of all the things that are going on and going wrong in David's life, in spite of the fact that he's suffering innocently, not one time does he ask God to change his situation. The only thing he asks throughout the psalm is that, God, I pray that you would glorify your name in my circumstances. Now think about that for a minute. All the things that we go through in life, all the hard times, all the struggles, all the hurts, everything that happens to us, do we say, God, in all of this, I pray that you will get glory. He never says, Lord, vindicate my name. He never says, Lord, I don't deserve this. He never says, Lord, I'm entitled to a much better life. You know that abundant life he was talking about? I'm looking for that. Where's it at? He never says, God, this cave stinks and it's dark in here. He never says, oh, by the way, give Saul an itch that won't quit and make him fall off his horse. He never says, make his horse run away so that he don't have a way to get into here. He never says them things to God. David may want to say all them things to God like you and I do, amen? But he perceives there's something bigger going on than Saul chasing him around the country. So he prays twice. He says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. David has faith that God will answer his prayer, and we know this because in verse 2 he says, I know God will fulfill his purpose in my life. And in verse 4 he says, I will lay down and rest in the midst of all these fiery beasts. I've got peace. I'm just going to lay down and sleep. I know they're out there. They're out there running around, using their mouth as swords, saying all kinds of slanderous things, saying all kinds of hurtful things to other people. They're all around us, but I can lay down and sleep in the midst of the storm. Instead of cowering in fear, David's getting a good night's sleep and he's waking up. And what's he do when he gets up in the morning? He sings. He praises God in the song. Three things in this text about your purpose and my purpose in life. The first thing in this text that we see about our purpose is we are to give God glory. Give God the glory. Verses 5 and 11. You can see this in the refrain that David goes back to again and again. God, be exalted above all the heavens and let your glory be over all the earth. Greater than David's desire to be rescued is David's desire to see God glorified. Is that our desire? Do we desire more than anything else that God would be glorified, or do we ask God, God, just please remove me from this circumstance. Just please hush my enemies. Just please take them out of the picture. Just please move me. Just please bless me in some way. Just do this. Just do that. God, please. Or are we saying, God, I know you placed me in the middle of this circumstance, and I can have joy here because I know that you're going to get all the praise and glory when we come to the end of this. The ultimate purpose in your life is not about you, it's not about me, but it's about God. You and I exist to give God glory. And you thought you got saved so that you would have a blessed life here on the earth and a blessed life with Him forever in the heavens? No, you got saved so that you could give God glory. You were created for such a thing. Every person that was ever created was created to give God glory. Not all people do that. Not all people follow and seek Jesus and ask Jesus to come into their heart where they'll have the desire to give the Creator and the Savior all the glory. But that's why every person was created. God wove into creation as a tapestry to display His glory. Why did God create the earth? Well, it says in Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. God created the earth, the trees, the plants, the flowers, everything we see out there, and all them things give God glory. God says that people have no excuse to know that He exists because He created all things, and all things are created by Him and through Jesus Christ, that we might see everything that's created and know that He exists. Amen. All the earth will name, the rocks will cry out, the streams will answer, and everything out there will give glory to God. The rocks will clap their hands and the trees will shout. Amen? Amen? Why did God choose to save Israel? Psalms 106:8. God saved Israel for His namesake that He might make known His mighty power. You know, God saved them as they went through that sea and He parted them waters. Why? So that God would get the glory. God saved them in 40 years in the wilderness, and He fed them with manna. He fed them with the things that come out of heaven. Why? So that He would get the glory. God gave them water when they struck the rock so that they could drink. Why? So that He would get the glory. He led them by that pillar of fire. Why? So that He would get the glory. Everything God does, He does so that He will get glory. Does He get the glory in your life when He does something for you? Isaiah 48:9 says, for my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you. Ezekiel 36:22-23, thus says the Lord God, it is for the sake of my holy name that I'm about to act. The nations will know that I am the Lord. Paul says in Ephesians 1:6 that God chose to save us in the way that He did, to put on display His glorious grace. So every one of us who have received the salvation of God should give God the glory for saving us. Amen? Amen. David says that the reason that God continues to work in his life is for the glory of his name in Psalms 23:3. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Why does God lead us in paths of righteousness? So that he gets the glory. Your primary purpose is to bring glory to God. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Everything we do as a believer should glorify God. Amen? When people see how we act, when people hear what we say, when people follow our lives, they should see God. Every child that's ever been born since the fall of man was born with a defective heart. Two words you never had to teach your children were no and mine. Amen? You didn't have to send your kids to rebellion boot camp, did you? They knew how to do that already. Our default setting is me. It's all about me. That's our default setting. We are born to glorify ourselves. God created us to glorify Him, but we were born into a fallen world. And so we continue to glorify ourselves until we find Him. And once we find Him and we ask Him into our heart changes, and everything we do to glorify Him because we have a heart change. Even in religion, we pray, give me, give me, give me. Amen? Hey God, are you listening? Can you hear me? I've been talking to you. Don't you see me? I'm down here struggling. Fix my circumstances now. And when he doesn't, you get angry with God. I'm so angry. This thing's just going on and on and on and it won't stop. Amen? Isn't that us? We're a bunch of stiff-necked crybabies. Amen? Amen? I'm just saying, I'm talking to myself here. You hear me? I'm speaking to old Mark. When you give, you expect to be blessed. Amen? You put your offering, your tithe in there. It says, God's going to bless me. I'm looking forward to that. Amen? Amen? So what did Jesus do when we stole his glory? Philippians 2:6 says, though Jesus was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. In the form of a servant, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. What he did when you and I stole his glory, you and I would never do. He came to earth, he took on the form of a servant, and he died for our sins in our place. Most of us would even find it hard enough to die for a friend, amen? But Jesus died for his enemies as they spit in his face and mocked him. The next part of that verse in 9, it says, therefore God has exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, God got all the glory. Everything Jesus did was to glorify God. And everything God does in our life is so that he will get the glory. Is he not worth receiving glory from you? He created you and then he died for you. He made you and then he redeemed you. He paid for you twice. It's not about me. It's about you, God. You'll never understand your purpose until you get that first principle. Amen? As believers, remember, it's all about Him. Secondly, we see in this text that it's to let God work in you. Your purpose is to let God work in you. God is more interested in your character than He is in your comfort. And we all know that hard times builds character, amen? And some of us have a lot of character because we've been through a lot of hard times. He's more interested in making you holy than He is making you happy. His purpose is to make you righteous like His Son Jesus. And if that takes a lot of circumstances, so be it. That's what He's going to do. He's going to bring you through all the storms of life to make you more like Jesus. David talks about his soul finding refuge in God. He said, "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for in my soul I take refuge in you. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till this storm of destruction passes by." David's refuge was not in the cave where he was hiding. It was not in this small army that he had gathered to himself to fight Saul's huge army. It was not in the fact that he was a deadeye with a slingshot. It was not in the innocence, or in his innocence, or in his justification, because we all know that he was innocent and justified in doing what he did. His refuge was in God's steadfast love and grace. God's purpose in all this was to teach David to make his presence his refuge. That, my friend, is God's purpose for you and me also. God wants us to take refuge in Him. You see, God's purpose for you is not what you do for Him, but what He does for you. And you know that verse in the Bible when all these people had died and went to heaven, and He says, "I never knew you." And they say, "Well, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we minister to the sick? Didn't we go to church every Sunday? Well, wasn't we sitting on that pew? Didn't you see me over there?" He says, I never knew you. You see, it's not about what you do for God. It's about what God did for you and in you that matters. Isaiah 43, 10 and 11 says, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord." Everybody say that. I am God's witness. One more time. I am God's witness. That's your purpose. You are a witness to who God is. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe and understand that I am He, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no other God. There is no other Savior. There is no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. And how do we be God's witnesses? By following His purpose. As He's working in us. We are not chosen because God has something He needs for us to do, but for something God wants to do in us and through us so that we have a testimony of who He is. That God is the only reliable Savior, and He is our refuge. Sometimes God removes our places of refuge to teach us that they're not sufficient and they're temporary. Like David, He drives us from our country, even though you're innocent, and He puts us in the wilderness so that we'll learn to find our home, our refuge, which is in Him. When He takes everything else away, He peels away all the layers, He peels away all our cubby holes, He peels away all our secret hiding places, and we have nothing left, we will seek our refuge in God alone. Amen? Amen. And so many times, if we look at our circumstances, we can see what He's doing. If we wasn't so bullheaded, we would know that He's trying to show us, you need to take refuge in me, not in your bank account. You need to take refuge in me, not in your friends. You need to take refuge in me, not in your home, not in the things that you own. You need to take refuge in me. And so I'm going to peel all this stuff away from you so all that you have left is me. And then you will see that I am your refuge. God has a purpose for you, and it's about what He's doing in you. God's more interested in your character than your comfort. And once you get that, some of what God is doing in your life may make sense. Thirdly, our purpose is to do God's will. To do God's will. David says in verse 2, God will fulfill His purpose for me. Fulfill, the Hebrew is gamar. That means to bring to an end, to complete it. God will complete His purpose in every believer. He will finish it. Amen? David makes the same statement in Psalms 138:8. He says, God will fulfill His purpose in me. He will not forsake the work of His hands. You are what God has started. And you are the work of His hands. And God always finishes what He starts. Amen? God is a perfectionist. And when it comes to His purposes, He will not let anything come in the way of what He's doing in your life. For David, this means God will save him from the wicked plans of others. In verses 3 and 6, you will overrule their evil plans for good. He also saves us from our own stupidity. Amen? A lot of times we create our own storms and we're pretty good at it. Mercy implies that David realizes that he's made mistakes. How about you? We all need mercy. Amen?
Amen.
We all need mercy. Think back about how you got to where you are today. Your path. Your path, probably like mine, is filled with a lot of stupidity. Your path, like mine, is probably filled with sin. Your path, like mine, is probably filled with some completely irrational, random, unplanned decisions that you made in a hurry that made no sense, that ended you up in a bad place. Amen? But through it all, God took a crooked stick and He drew a straight line. Amen? I'm not saying it's okay to make bad decisions, because it's not. I'm just saying that when you surrender to God's will, He has a way of weaving everything, absolutely everything, towards His purpose, His perfect plan for your life. And though that path may look crooked and may be full of bumps and bruises and all kinds of wounds and hurts and habits and hang-ups, He made a straight path right to where He wanted you to be today. And that's why you're here. That's why you're hearing this word today. Because God has a purpose for it, and He has a plan for you. The irony is, when you surrender to God's will, God will fulfill His purpose in you. And when you don't follow God's will, you follow your own will, nothing will work, because God's will is not within your plan and your schedule. You see, God's ways are not our ways. God's plans are higher than our plans. And God has a different way that He does stuff. And we don't understand all of God's ways. We just look back and see what He did and say, wow, praise God. I'm so glad He didn't give me my way, because I'd have been in terrible shape. I'm so glad that He took me His way. And even though the circumstances and the places He took me was some rough spots, I got to where I am because I went God's way. And I was just obedient to His will. Romans 8:28 says, we know, and we say this all the time, right? We know this verse by heart. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. We say that part of it all the time. But listen to the next part of that. Verse 29 says, for those who He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. So your purpose is to what? Be like Jesus. Once you ask Jesus to come into your heart, He predestined you to look like Jesus, to act like Jesus, so that other people might see Jesus in you. And God will ensure that that happens. Those who he predestined, he also called. And those who he called, he also justified. And those who he justified, guess what? He glorified. What does glorified mean? Glorified means that you have eternal life. You have the glory, the Shekinah glory of God in your life. You have eternal life forever. God always finishes what he starts, and he will see it through. Paul says in Philippians 1:6, I am sure of this one thing, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. That's the day of glorification. Amen. You know, the day we ask Jesus into our heart, we receive the glory of God in our heart through the Holy Spirit. But one day, this body, this old nasty body, this old flesh, is going to be glorified. And that's at the day of Jesus Christ, when he comes back or whenever I go to be with him. I will receive a glorified body. So when I surrender to God's purpose, the power of that promise becomes my refuge. Then like David, you can lie down and sleep, and you can get up and sing in the morning. You can rise up with that joyful song even in the midst of heartache. And out of the darkest caves of discouragement and depression, you can sing songs of praise. God has a purpose for you, and he wants to use you to exalt his name in all the earth, and he wants to teach you to trust him and use him as your refuge. In conclusion, and this is the greatest word that you all have been waiting for, in conclusion, it's okay to ask God and pray to God to change your situation. It's okay. But are you praying, God, glorify me in this circumstance that I'm in? Let other people see you in me, even though I'm in this rough place. Even though I'm in this cave and it's dark in here, when people come in this cave and they see me, may you illuminate me so they see you. The success in any life is measured solely by whether it is discovered its purpose to glorify God. I'm going to finish with this story. When I was up in Chillicothe and I was doing my job with integrity as best I could, there were some folks that wanted me to bend the rules, but I would not do it. These folks were very politically connected, so they cried out to their politician, and he ordered a congressional investigation of my office. 5 or 6 people come to my office for a week, and they went through all my files. They interviewed everybody in my office, interviewed other people, customers that I'd worked with. And at the conclusion of all this, they brought me into my own office, and the panel sat around, and they said, we found nothing. And I said, well, I didn't do anything. They said, well, make the report. We'll go back to the state office. We'll make the report. We'll give it to the state conservationist, and you'll hear from him soon. So they go back. Week goes by, I hear nothing. Another week goes by, I hear nothing. Finally, I get a call. State conservationist said, we're going to move you. I go, what for? He goes, well, you know, there was a congressional investigation at your office. And I go, yeah. They come down, they found nothing. I was doing exactly what I was supposed to be doing. He goes, yeah, but in order to satisfy the political investigation, I have to move you. So here I am, innocent, justified like David was. Now I'm in the cave, and I have to move. I was so mad. Oh, I was mad at everybody. All my coworkers had come to me and says, if you want to fight this, we got your back. Let's fight it. I called different people that I know, people that I respect in our agency. I said, what should I do? They said, well, you could file a grievance. You'll probably win. And you may win the war and lose the... Or you may win the battle and lose the war. And... He said, maybe you should just walk away. So I thought about it and prayed about it. And I didn't want to walk away. I wanted to fight. I was so mad. But in the end, I just let them do what they wanted. And if I hadn't let them do what they wanted, if I'd have took my own way and fought it, I wouldn't have never ended up in Clinton. And I never would have ended up being a pastor at Antioch Baptist Church 6 years. I never would have been your pastor. And God would have never used me in the places that He wanted to use me. Even though I was in the right, even though I was justified, even though I was innocent, God had a better plan for my life. And if I would have stayed where I was, I think the stress of that job would have probably killed me in my 50s from a heart attack or some other stressful issue. So God removed me from all that. I was down in Clinton for months before I figured out how much stress I'd been under in the other position. I come down to Clinton and I put data in a computer for 3 months. I put data. The phone would ring, I'd answer the phone and say, "Can I help you?" The clerk says, "How come you keep answering my calls?" I go, "I'm so used to putting out fires where in my old job that every call was an emergency fire and I had to put it out." After a couple months, I quit answering her phone. She was happy. I was too. But you see how God can take us out of a situation, and it looks like a terrible situation, and He puts us over in a lot better place. And we have to look back and see what God was doing to know His hand. And then we can give all the praise and glory to God. I'm so thankful that God moved me out of that place. Even though I was justified, I was innocent. I'm still so thankful that God changed my life at that point. So God has a way. God wants to work in you. Amen. God wants you to follow His will. And God wants you to give Him all the glory. Would you stand and pray with me? Father God, may we be glory givers. May we have a testimony, not just the testimony where You saved us, which is an awesome testimony, but the testimony where You're still working in our lives. Every week, every day, Lord, You're doing something. And Lord, we're going through this hard time and that hard time, and Lord, You deliver us from all of them. And Lord, we stand in Your presence because we sheltered in place in Your refuge. Thank You for that shelter. And Lord, may I never shelter in the material things of this earth, but may I always shelter in Your presence, in Your love, in Your grace and mercy. Lord, we need Your mercy every day, and Lord, every morning Your mercies are made new. And we thank You so much for that. We thank You for Your forgiveness, and Lord, that You can take our crooked path and make a straight way. And Lord, I'm thankful that we can look back and see it. And then we can give You all the praise and glory. Lord, I thank You for everything You're doing. Lord, You are worthy of all of our praise and glory. And we give that to You this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to be singing page 134.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe You died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in Your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in You alone for my salvation, and I accept Your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.